Welcome to Career Tours. This week, status or status on demand. The questions this cast answers are, what is status on demand? Why do I need to be able to give a status on demand? And what do I include in my status on demand?
If you enjoy our guidance about the management trinity, getting to know your people, talking about performance, asking for more, pushing work down, and our tools are helpful, one-on-ones, feedback, coaching, and delegation. The ideal way to learn about implementing them is to come to one of our effective manager conferences. One day, we cover all of the major topics. You practice feedback, you practice coaching, you practice delegation. I can't tell you the number of times people have said to us, wow, I thought I understood the tools. And then when I had to practice, I realized I've taken it to another level. Come to the website, check out our conference schedule, see us all over the US and in Europe and in Asia and in Australia. See you there.
So before we start, I'm going to use the word status because it's easier for me, but in American it's status, and I'm sure that's what Danny's going to use.
I will probably say status.
I'm sorry, I just can't keep it up. So as a professional, you're responsible for knowing the status of any of your projects at any one time. Your manager can expect that they can ask about any of your projects or any of your tasks on your task list, and you'll know what's happening with it and when it's going to get done. And in this guidance, we're going to tell you how to give that briefing. So what's our outline, Danny?
So we're going to recommend first that you start your, now I'm going to say status because that's what I keep hearing you say, your status on demand with red, amber, or green. Next, describe the status with metrics, time, current deliverables. Third, the length of your update of your status report depends on the organizational relationship you have with the person asking. Fourth, the tracking system that you may be using is irrelevant. That's probably going to be, I think, one of the most controversial parts of this podcast, but I think it's my favorite.
I agree.
And then last, in addition to knowing the current status, know potential future stumbling blocks.
There's quite a lot in here for quite a short briefing that you're going to give.
Yeah, this is pretty meaty. I'm excited about this. And like so much of what we do, Wendy, in our podcast, when I was reading it, I was thinking, I wish I had known this when I was 25 years old.
Oh, me too.
So we recommend that first you begin your update, your status report, with stating red, amber, or green. Categorizing projects or tasks this way, red, amber, green, or sometimes red, orange, green, sometimes red, yellow, green, that's pretty standard corporate practice. People are pretty used to it. It's often written as R/A/G, or sometimes it's just RAG. I've seen it RAG report without the slashes. I've seen it called stoplight reports because that's what it references, right? And that's a system that we're all used to, thinking, you know, stoplights, where we all interact with stoplights, so we know what that means.
All of the guidance we're going to give you can apply to whole projects or just single tasks. And where we use one, we also are including the other. So it depends on your work, whether you have projects or whether you just have individual tasks, or whether you are working in a project, but you're working on individual tasks right now. All of those are included. It doesn't matter kind of the size of the project or the task, what you're using, the status on demand is still the same.
And your boss is going to ask you for both. There's going to be times where he's just going to ask you, what's the status on this one task, this one deliverable? Those of you who have managers who are doing one-on-ones with you, that's fairly common during the manager's portion of the one-on-one, where they may have a list of things that deliverables they gave you last week, and they want to know what's going on with them. Or the whole project overall, or even tasks within the bigger project, right?
Yeah, exactly. So a red light, depending on what you were taught to drive, means full stop on the road. I know some countries where that doesn't actually apply, but for now, we're just going to assume that a red light means full stop.
In terms of projects or tasks, it means there's significant problems, there's issues, the project is in danger. And it could be that those often, what that means is those issues or those problems need some outside action in order for the project to move forward and meet the objectives. So it means we are in a full stop on this project because we have a problem. Things are not moving forward until we solve this problem.
Yeah. For example, you might have a task that is red because something more urgent is taking priority. So you might be working on a project, but the system went down and you're in charge of fixing the system as well as this project. And so until the system is fixed, you can't go on with this task. And in order to fix that, your manager or someone outside of this project team needs to make a decision. Do they put somebody else onto that task? Do they bring in other resources? Do they say, that's fine, we'll move out the deadline because we need you to fix this system and you can't work on both? Sometimes it also means that there's an intervention. So they've made a decision about timeline or adding resources and that's happened, but there's no result yet. So the project will remain red while an intervention is kind of being brought up, and then it will go green once that task is completed and you're back on track for the project.
And I think it's important when you say that red is not bad. I think a lot of people, me included, I've felt this way too. We hesitate to report red because that means we're in trouble or the project's in trouble. And so we're afraid of getting in trouble and we hesitate to report red, but red is not bad. If that is where the project or the task is, then that's being honest and reporting it. So it's an acknowledgement that there's a problem. And really being able to say that, being able to say, hey, something needs to happen here. There's some problems is really a sign of strength rather than weakness. And I think a lot of professionals get that backwards.
Yeah, people don't want to report red. But actually, red just means I need help. It's like when your car has a red light, you don't think, oh, I don't want to tell anyone my car has a red light. You say, oh, I need a mechanic. That's kind of what a red light on a project is like.
Some of us ignore those lights in our cars. And then it just becomes a bigger problem. Which is,
exactly.
That's a good metaphor, though.
On the road, and despite how most of us drive, amber actually means stop. The orange light means stop. And for your project, amber means there's a problem, but it can either be dealt with you or the project team, or the intervention has already happened and you're coming back towards green. Amber means we have a concern, but we're working on resolving it.
Wendy, would you say then it means, as opposed to red, it means we know we have a problem, but we've come up with the solution. We know what we're doing. Whereas red means we have a problem and a decision needs to be made on how we're going to move forward. We don't yet have a solution. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And green means woohoo!
Go!
Green means everything, the tasks, your ability to meet the deadlines, and any other constraints, cost or quality, is not compromised. It means the project is on target. It's where you said it would be at this point. And so using red, amber, green in your status on demand allows you to use a shorthand to give the person that you're reporting to an overview on the project or task very quickly. Because again, this is pretty universal understanding of what red, amber, green means. And so when you start off by saying, I'm red or I'm amber, the other person quickly knows where you are.
It's known what is meant by red and amber and green. So everybody has the same definition. So you can use that word without having to add any more information, which means that that information gets transmitted really quickly.
But we're not just going to stop with red, amber, or green, right? No. I mean, we have to give some more details because that status, red, amber, green, is a snapshot. It's saying right now this project is red or right now this project is amber. But in order to give somebody a full understanding of how the project is going, you have to also talk about the future. You have to give some predictions about what's going to happen in the future. So we have two statements, two status updates, and we want you guys to hear the difference. So I'll read the first one, Wendy, and then why don't you read the second one?
Okay.
So this is the first one. I'm the person reporting, so I'm the direct reporting to my manager. The task is amber. I have established the problem, but I don't know how to solve it. So I've reached out to Paul. He believes, he thinks he knows how to fix it. He's committed to do so by the end of Monday, end of day Monday. And if he can't, we have an outside source lined up and ready to help us. So that's one example.
So, and this is the second. The task is Amber. I've established the problem, but I don't know how to solve it. I've reached out to Paul, but he's not sure either. We're working on finding someone that does know, but if we haven't found someone by Wednesday, we're going to make this task red. Now, we both said the task is Amber, but there's a huge difference between what Danny said, which was we have a solution and we have a backup solution. And so this task probably isn't going to get worse than Amber. It might miss its deadline, in which case it goes red, but it probably isn't going to get worse. Whereas the example that I gave, I don't know the solution, Paul doesn't know the solution, and we don't have a backup. We don't have someone else to go to. So this Amber is almost certainly going to go red.
Right.
And there's a big difference between the two.
Yeah, if you only say this task is Amber, which it is right now, then it's possible you could be really kind of downplaying the risk significantly, right? Because in both of those examples, we both said Amber, but one is probably going to be green in a week, and the other one is probably going to be red in a week. So yeah, that's a big, big difference. If you're managing a project that has multiple tasks and several of them are currently in the critical path, then you need to be able to describe each one this way, because it tells your manager not just where you are right now, but where you see this project or these tasks in the future, which your boss is definitely going to want to know. So if you report to your boss, Amber, and then you get the third degree, you might be surprised, but you probably shouldn't, because this is the reason why you're getting that third degree. It's never enough to just tell your boss, this is where we are right now. Your boss also wants to know, this is where we are right now, and here's where we're going to be in the future. And often when we're giving updates, we're waiting to hear back from somebody else or somebody else is involved, right? If you say that to your boss, this task is Amber, I have established the problem, but I don't know how to solve it. I've reached out to Paul. He believes he knows how to fix it. It's never enough just to say to your boss, it's on someone else's desk. Or, you know, I forwarded the mail to Maggie, and so I'm waiting to hear back from her. I've had directs tell me stuff like that. Well, I'm asking so-and-so for help. I've sent them an email. I've left them a message. It's just, as a manager, it drives me crazy, because when it's your task or your project, you are responsible for it. You're responsible. You're not responsible for asking somebody else to help. You're responsible for getting it done, which may include asking somebody else for help.
That's right. Because if they're asking for the status of the project, you're not asking to find out whether or not your direct is doing their job. Well, you are, but not just that. You're also trying to work out what help they might need. As a manager, you're responsible for working out how to get this project or task done, not only the direct. It isn't just the direct's job, because the manager's job is to try and get rid of some of the roadblocks or add some of their network to the problem so that they can make the problem go away. If a direct doesn't finish a project and the manager has the resources to have pushed away any of the problems that the direct had and which caused them not to finish the project, it's not the direct's fault. It's the manager's fault.
I would say this though, Wendy, if the direct didn't communicate that to the manager, then they share a little bit. That's why you're getting that third degree, because it's the manager's job to dig down and find out more detail so that they can say, well, I can help with that. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, what about bad managers, you know, who will give you a project or give you a deadline or give you a task, and then they don't ask you about it ever again until the deadline is passed. And then when their boss asks them about it, they totally throw you under the bus. Yes, those managers exist. They're out there. We hope you don't work for one. We certainly hope, if you're a manager listening to us, that you don't do things like that to your directs. But a good manager asks for status because of what Wendy just said. A good manager, he or she is taking responsibility for enabling you to complete the project. And in order to help you, they have to know not just status, but what the future stumbling blocks are, which is what we're going to talk about in a little bit as well.
And the length of your briefing depends on the organizational relationship. So how long your status on demand is depends on how close you are in the organization to the person asking. And so your manager gets the longest status on demand. But your boss's boss's boss, or as I've seen it written lately, your great-grand boss, gets a much shorter and precise briefing.
That's creepy.
I know, isn't it weird? I like it, though. It's descriptive.
You do? Oh, I don't like it. Yeah.
So, for instance, you know, if there's you're an individual contributor and there's an SVP, a senior vice president, and you happen to meet them in the corridor or the elevator, and they know that it's you that's working on a project that they're interested in, they might well ask you about it. And they don't need the whole ins and outs of it, because they don't need to know, you know, every conversation you have with a contractor or the problem that you're currently on and what you're doing to get it done, in the same way that your boss needs to know. Because if the problem can be cleared at your boss's level, then the SVP doesn't need to get involved. And if the SVP does need to get involved, that should go up through the chain, because otherwise you're skipping your boss and you're dropping them in it, and that's not fair.
Yeah, your boss never wants to get a phone call from that SVP saying, hey, I was talking to Joe on the elevator and he said there's a problem on this project. And this is the first time your boss is hearing about the problem.
Yeah.
That is not good.
So let's do some examples. Let's assume that we're individual contributors working on a project, and we'll do two briefings, one for the director and one for the senior VP. I'll do the director and then you can do senior VP. So we're Amber. Our contractor is having difficulty sourcing the tiles we need, and we're all working on alternatives like using contractor Y instead, bringing in tiles from other stores, or buying them direct from the supplier for our contractor to use. The deadline for tiles on site is Friday week, which is English for not this Friday, but the Friday after. And we're going to go red on this if we're not certain of a solution on this Friday. In other words, if we don't know what we're going to do on Friday and the deadline isn't a week away, then we need to go red, because we've got all these different options and it looks like we're not going to solve them without outside help by the Friday of the deadline. So that was quite long. What would we say to the senior VP?
Okay, so this is going to be the same status update. You're just delivering it to somebody two levels up from you. So we're Amber. Our contractor's having difficulty sourcing the tiles we need. We're working on alternatives, and the deadline for tiles on site is Friday week, and we will be red if we are not certain that we have a solution for this by this Friday.
Which is exactly the same. And then the SVP might continue to ask questions. So you might end up giving them all of the information that you would have given your boss, or that hopefully you've already given your boss, but you don't start there. It's the same way if you ask a kid, have you taken the trash out? You don't need a blow-by-blow of, oh, yes, I did, and I opened the door and the cat was there or whatever, because taking the trash out isn't actually that high of a level of importance to you. The same way the SVP doesn't need a blow-by-blow. They just need to know that the project is getting done. But some SVPs like to know all the detail, so it's possible that they'll ask for it all.
This is one that it took me a while to learn, Wendy. I used to think I need to give them all the details. The other thing I want to point out that I was thinking about as I was listening to you give the status is, nowhere in these examples that we're giving folks, you guys will notice, we never start with the word well. or if we do, it's followed by, well, we're Amber, or so we're, I'll share with you guys insider tip from a manager. When direct start a status update with the word well, and it's not immediately followed by red, amber, green, it's like we don't hear anything else. It's like blah, 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 blah. And so start first, you'll notice in these examples, the first thing we said was we're Amber. That's what your boss wants to know. And that's certainly what your boss's boss wants to know.
I have a habit of starting sentences with so. And I've been practicing not doing that. What I do is just not say anything and then think, okay, what's the first part of the sentence? If I said so, what's the next part? And this is the same thing. If you feel like I'm going to say well and I'm going to say a bunch of things, just don't say anything and then say, you know, like say it in your head, the things you want to say. And when you get to the bit that says we're Amber or we're Red, then start there.
Then start there.
And people don't notice. It's really weird. They say, oh, wow, you use pauses really effectively. And I think, I'm not pausing. I'm just trying not to say so. But there's one way to do it. If you find yourself, if you're one of those people that can't start right at the beginning, just say all the other words in your head and then start.
Yeah. Everybody, I think, has those little verbal crutches that we
use. Oh, yeah. And the other thing about SVPs, when they ask you about things, they might not ask you about a specific project, but they might ask about your projects. So if you see them in the corridor and they know you're working on things, they might say, hey, how are things going? What's going on with your projects? And then in that case, you need to know not only the status, but also which ones are the most important that you give in a status about initially, because you might be working on 5 different projects, but only 1 or 2 have reached the level of the SVP's attention, and they don't need to know about some minor changes you're making to some form or something. So you just start with the most important. And again, an SVP might be curious, they might ask about other projects, but you're limiting it to the things that are really important to them at first, to be respectful of their time.
Excellent. All right. Our next recommendation, this is my favorite, Wendy, because I think this is going to be the one that's the most surprising. And that is, the tracking system that your organization is using is irrelevant. Almost every organization has some technological method of tracking projects and status or status. And some, it may just be a simple spreadsheet that just says who, what, when, or checklist. In more complex project management systems, there could be Gantt charts involved and all kinds of very cool things. If you're working on a project, there's probably some system that you're reporting into that you're updating in addition to whatever you're using to manage your own individual tasks, your own to-do list.
So Danny, why, if I take the time to fill in all these tracking systems, and it's up to date, and I'm reporting instead of working, why do I then have to be able to give a status on demand? Because it's in the system.
Right. That's what everybody says, right? And that's what drives people crazy about systems, is because they feel like I take the time to report on it, and then nobody looks on it at it because I'm being asked, what's the status?
Mm-hmm. It's annoying.
Right. The short answer is, it doesn't matter. You are obliged to use the tracking system, but your manager or your director, your VP, your SVP, everybody up throughout the organization above you, they are not obliged to use a tracking system. And since you're not their manager, you don't get to tell them how to do their job. That's the short answer. You know, look, you're not their manager. If they choose to not look at the reporting system, the tracking system, that's their call, and that's between them and their boss. But the longer answer is that it's really inefficient for them to use the tracking system to find out status. Look, if your director sees you in the corridor or an elevator, or is just thinking about a project and pings you and wants to know the status, it's far more efficient for them to just ask you right then than to go back to their office, open up the right tracking system, find your task, look at the status. And this is the part that I think is most critical. Just by looking at that reporting system that you have, your status is probably not going to be all that obvious to them anyway. Most of those tracking systems are not generally designed for high-level reporting. They're designed to track deliverables and to track work and to track tasks. They're not necessarily designed to give somebody who is not working in the project, like your boss or your boss's boss, a snapshot or a status on what's going on with the project. Here at Manager Tools, we have several checklists that are just essentially Excel spreadsheets. And I can go in and look at them, and I can see where Sarah and Kate and Judy are as far as what things they've done. But it doesn't tell me, it doesn't give me any other data. It just tells me if they did it or not. And if they haven't done it, it doesn't tell me why. And back to what we talked about earlier, Wendy, it doesn't tell me if there's something that I can do to help them with the thing that hasn't been done yet. I don't know, have they just not done it because they just haven't done it, or have they not done it because they're having a problem and I can help them with a problem? The way that a conversation can tell me that.
Yeah, and there's another part of it too. A director might have hundreds of projects being managed by people below them in the organization structure, and there might be dozens of tracking systems. And her job is not to spend the first part of her day scanning all those systems and getting up to date on all the project statuses. Her job is to run the division. Can you imagine a director comes into work, they're paid $250,000 a year, and they spend the first 3 hours of their morning looking at tracking systems? That is not good use of money or time for the organization. And occasionally, they need to understand exactly where you are on a particular project. And just asking you, which will take them 2 minutes, is much more efficient than going through all of those tracking systems and looking for an exact status. And as Danny said, it still won't tell them what they need in the same way that a phone call to you will.
Absolutely. And I think there's another part to this, Wendy, that is part of your manager's job is to help develop you professionally. And part of that is knowing how to communicate and knowing how to update people. Because if you get promoted and you end up as a VP or an SVP reporting to the CEO, and the CEO says, hey, what's the status? You're not going to look at the CEO and say, well, you know, you should check the project task management system, because that doesn't happen. And so part of this, I think, too, is your professional development in learning how to explain these things to people who are not intimately involved in the project the way you are.
And the final part of what goes in your status on demand is your stumbling blocks. And you don't need to put this in as you read it. So when we've given examples before, we haven't said, okay, and the future problems are, but it's still something that you need to have in the back of your mind. So when we talked about an amber project, we talked about what's causing it to be amber right now, or at least before the next deadline. But there are stumbling blocks that you might already know about that may come up after that. So let's report, say you've reported your status as amber and you have a fix, which means you're going to be green by the end of the week. So what does any canny manager say after that?
Well, we were amber this week. We're going to be green. That's good. But is there another problem that's going to cause us to go amber again 2 weeks from now?
Yeah. Exactly. It's like, you know, if there's been one amber problem, what's the likelihood of there being another? It seems that this project has some difficulties that we might not have thought about ahead of time, or that we're coming up with problems that we didn't think would exist. And so anybody who has any smarts wants to know about them and will ask about them. So you need to know what's going to come up that might be a problem later, because a smart manager wants to try and get rid of those roadblocks now so that you never have to go amber again.
What you might hear from your manager is, do you think this will happen? I mean, it may just be as direct as, do you think this is going to happen again? Or what are the chances of this happening again? Or they might say, is this a permanent fix so that this doesn't happen again? They may ask you for not just what you're doing to fix the problem today, but what are you doing to make sure that the problem doesn't reoccur so that we don't have this same problem again? And then they're also probably thinking about what other problems. I think often, Wendy, it's probably both. It's what are we doing to make sure we don't have this specific problem again? And what other problems are out there that we can think about now that we can prevent?
Right. And because if they know in advance and there's a problem that they're not going to be able to fix, they can also go to their manager to clear a block. And that has all sorts of advantages for your manager, because if you're asking for something in advance, it requires less favors or less influence for their manager to clear that block. There's nothing like an emergency to call in. You need a lot of favors or a weight in the favor bucket when you're calling in something as an emergency. Whereas if your manager's manager can go to whoever needs to clear a blockage 3 weeks in advance, much fewer favors are required. And so you shouldn't be surprised if you get this question, and therefore you need to know what those stumbling blocks are going to be.
Awesome. Should we wrap up?
Yeah, go for it.
Being able to give status on demand or status on demand is one of the hallmarks of a professional. Even when the work that you're, the task that you're waiting on or the help that you're waiting on is on somebody else's desk, you still need to know when it's going to get done and what the status is. So don't be surprised when you're asked by your boss or your boss's boss or your, what did you say, your great-grand boss to give you a status on demand briefing or SOD briefing. Don't refer that person to the tracking sheet or the reporting website. Start first with red, amber, green, and then talk about metrics and of time, current deliverables, and know your stumbling blocks. Be prepared to talk about what's going to happen in the future. It's simple, but it definitely puts you in front of anyone else who can't do that, which is definitely most people, including me for a long time.
And me. Great. Thanks, Danny.
Thanks, Wendy.
Bye, everyone. That's all this week. We'll see you next week.
If you enjoyed this podcast and you want the how-tos of management wherever you are, check out the free Manager Tools mobile app. It's available on both iOS and Android devices. Go to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and download the Manager Tools app. Just search for Manager Tools in the respective store, or go to the Manager Tools website, www.manager-tools.com, and you'll find the links on the bottom of the homepage. Once you've installed the Manager Tools app, you'll have access to all the Manager Tools and Career Tools shows anytime, anywhere you want. With easy searching of podcasts by category, using the map of the universe, or using built-in search functions, it couldn't be easier. Additionally, if you're Manager Tools personal licensee, you'll have easy access to all the show notes right from the app whenever you want. Go to the App Store and download the Manager Tools mobile app. You'll be happy you did.